There we go. Thanks, Audrey. Well, here we are. Here we go. Announcements. Anyone have any announcements you want to bring up? A couple weeks, we've got board meeting. So we'll be ready for that. Also in 2 weeks, grandfathers on the second Sunday of the month. And then fourth Sunday is always Dr. Daria's Book and Film Club. Susan.
We are always looking for people who'd like to be readers. There's a sign up right out there on the door, so you can pick your time and write your name.
All right. Sounds good. All right. And let's next do our unity statement. Again, you know, it's going to have to come in. You guys are going to have to now bring it home. All right, we'll say it together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. And now, Linda and Dallas will lead us in our song of joy, Praise Ye the Lord. Please stand if you would like.
I think some of you may know this, and it's actually a kid's song that we're gonna be praising and hallelujahing for Easter. And the first two times through, we'll just sing it all together. The second time's true, it's a challenge because the women are going to sing the hallelujah part and the men are going to sing the praise ye the Lord. Dallas' special rendition.
Has been really awesome in my humble opinion. laying down one life is the ultimate letting go. Early as part of our life's mission, as Jesus was, but at times we may experience the end of life as we know it. The Easter story resonates year after year because in the crucifixion, tomb, and resurrection, we recognize our own experiences of loss, the void, and renewal. In the book of John, four chapters are devoted to the farewell discourses in which Jesus tried to prepare the disciples to carry on without him. That's when he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Of course, all of us will eventually release our physical bodies. Sometimes death is a healing. The world might be if we could view death not as a tragedy, but as a natural end to our temporary physical existence. Jesus' resurrection proved to us that life is eternal. We will never know exactly what happened that Sunday morning, but it was significant enough to become part of the story handed down through the years. By the time they were written as the Gospels, they varied in exactly what Jesus did or said or looked like after his resurrection. But somehow, he communicated to his followers that he was still right here. We can be assured, reassured, that our spiritual essence continues after a death. But the story also means that no matter what comes to an end in our lives, there will be a new day. We may spend time in darkness, but eventually the stone will roll away and the sun will stream in. The Easter story is a beautiful metaphor for the losses in our lives that lead to unexpected renewal. The losses may even be necessary. After all, there would have been no resurrection without crucifixion. And so today we celebrate this teaching, not only our souls continue their spiritual journey after death, but that our human lives are on an upward trajectory while we are here. Feeling sad and alone may be part of our experience, but we can look forward to the day when our good becomes visible. The sooner we become willing to let go of whatever life circumstances we cling to, the sooner we can enter the new realm of our good. Transformation is always possible and may even be our soul's purpose for these lives. Today we celebrate all that the Easter story means to us. The idea of the risen Jesus communicates a message of divine support for the lives we are living. It reassures us that death and darkness are never the last word. And it lets us know our divine nature can be just as strong, as grounded, and as loving as we saw in Jesus.
Thank you, Susan. Truer words were never spoken. Now, please join us as Dallas and Linda lead us in our meditation song, That Kind of Love.
Innocence makes me ashamed. till I'm not sure that I can take that kind of love. Pride and hatred cannot stand that kind of love. Greater love hath no man than that kind of love. Won't be kept unto itself, it spreads its charm, it casts its spell, till no one's safe this side of hell. That kind of love. Love rejected and ignored, held in chains behind closed doors, stuff of legends and of song. But deep down everybody longs for that kind of love. But it only takes a child to show that kind of love. Widows smile and strong men weep, little ones play at its feet. The deaf can hear and the blind can see that kind of love. It humbles and inspires, love that does not hesitate, no conditions, no restraint for that kind of that kind of love. Even stars fall from the sky, and everything will fall in time, except the things that cannot die. That kind of love. May you be remembered by that kind of love. Song by Pierce Pettis.
We will remember you by that kind of love. Now, join us in our affirmations. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and in the perfect way. And today, the fifth Sunday of the month, we will...
And due to technical difficulties, we'll be doing our prayer.
Praying our prayer. I don't have it in front of me. So, Mother, Father, Spirit divine who dwells in all, we are grateful for your infinite blessings as we align with divine will to co-create heaven on earth. You fulfill our needs. We embrace all of life knowing of life. We know you are always present. Your love, power, and presence are right here, right now, and always. And so it is.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Tom. I hope everyone can hear me okay. Yes? All right, Tom, if you can hear me there, can you let me know? Yes? Okay, terrific. Thank you. A little louder. Okay. All right. Okay, great, thank you, yes. Okay. Just making sure that my sound is coming through. Yes, okay, all right, great, thank you. Well, happy Easter, everyone. I love that we're celebrating new beginnings today because some days feel like a new beginning every moment, don't they? And so I'll start by telling a story about a man who was having some financial challenges. And this man decided to walk into a church and do something he hadn't done. He thought he'd pray to God. And so he went into this church and he said, "Hey, God, I know I haven't been perfect and we haven't talked very much, but I really need to win the lottery. I'm behind on some bills. So if you could help me out, that would be fantastic." And a week went by and the man did not win the lottery. And so this time he decided to go to a Jewish synagogue. And he went to a synagogue and he said the same prayer. "Hey God, I really need to win the lottery." But he thought he'd up the ante a little bit. And he said, "I have some debts to pay, but you know, my mom also needs surgery. So if you can just help me win the lottery, I can take care of her." Well, another week passed and the man still didn't win the lottery. And so this time he went to the local mosque and he said his same prayer, but he also added, "God, you know, if you help me win the lottery, I will be a better person. And after I get out of debt, I'll even give some money to charity. Well, he was pretty satisfied this would work, and he walked outside. And then he heard a big booming voice from up in the sky say, "At least buy a lottery ticket." So today, we're continuing our study from the book, Up Your Life, by Reverend Charlene Emanuel. And you may remember Reverend Charlene says there's as many definitions of prayer and ways to pray as there are human beings. And her definition of prayer is conscious, intentional communion with God, with the understanding that the more time we spend in this conscious, intentional communion with God, the more time we spend in prayer, the greater our awareness of God as the loving presence within us and within others. And Reverend Charlene is not trying to change the way we pray. She's just suggesting new ideas, new practices to support us in our prayers. And we can try them out. They can be experiments. Maybe they'll work great. Maybe they'll crash and burn. Who knows? We'll see what we learn along the way. In unity, we know that prayer is so important. So one of Unity's basic principles is that prayer and meditation connect and align us to our own spiritual nature and to God. This is part of why we know that prayer is so important. It helps us remember that divinity within and that divinity in everyone. And so today's prayer, part of why I told my goofy lottery joke, is called Pray and Get Ready. Pray and get ready. There's many times we might get ready for something. I'm guessing everyone got ready to be where you are at today, whether getting ready involved brushing your teeth, taking a shower, finding the right clothes to wear. If you're having company over for Easter Sunday, maybe some things you're doing to get ready include cleaning your home, preparing special foods, hiding Easter eggs for the children. If you're going to someone else's home for Easter, maybe part of your preparation is thinking, what I can bring? What can I contribute to the meal that maybe no one else is bringing? Part of why we prepare, or part of why we get ready, is that I believe we're envisioning the kind of experience we want to have when we're celebrating Easter, or when we're at someone else's home, or when we're having someone to our home, or when we're just out in the world. And it's very similar with prayer. Reverend Charlene is asking us to think about, when we pray for something, what do we do next? What do we do to get ready for the good that we are praying to receive? Especially in unity, where we believe God isn't a big guy up in the sky. We just don't pray our prayers and then wait for something to happen. We believe that divinity is in each of us. And so we can always ask ourselves, more so than just waiting and hoping for an answered prayer, what can I do next? What can I do to support this prayer that I'm praying? Sometimes this is called putting feet on our prayers. In the Centers for Spiritual Living, which is also sometimes called Science of Mind and has some similar practices to Unity, they call prayer a mind treatment. And they're saying is treat and move your feet. In other words, pray, but don't just stop there. Do something in alignment with that prayer. And in Unity, one of Unity's basic principles is principle number 5. That it's not enough to simply believe the divine is in everyone and everything, and that prayer is important, that our actions are also important. What do we do with that belief that we hold? Now, one story that Reverend Charlene tells, which I find very helpful, is she talks about a woman in her congregation praying for a romantic partner. And this woman had a great vision of finding the love of her life. She created a vision board. She asked her prayer partner to pray with her for this intention. She asked the whole church community to pray with her. And lo and behold, a young man joined the church and asked this woman out. And many in the congregation and her prayer partner were a little surprised to hear that the young woman said no. And her reasons for saying no were things like, well, I don't really have anything to wear, and I won't have time to get my hair done. And I don't know if I want our first date to be at a big event like the one he invited me to. Now, it is certainly okay that we use our divine gift of wisdom to discern when opportunities arise. Is this the right opportunity for me? And we'll talk more about wisdom a little later today. However, Reverend Charlene says if we're using minor excuses when our good comes our way, alignment between our beliefs and our prayers. Maybe we don't really know what we want. Or maybe we have some fear about what we'll do if our good shows up, or fear about our lives being as good as what we're praying for. Or maybe we're praying for something, but we don't really believe what we're envisioning is possible in our lives. There could be many reasons why our thoughts and our prayers are a little out of step. And this doesn't mean we're bad or we're wrong in any way. It's an opportunity to offer ourselves some compassion and to refocus and to perhaps change our prayer or perhaps change our behavior. Reverend Charlene's point is that one way of praying is to also look at what action we're doing. Now, in each of her chapters, Reverend Charlene has something she calls a prayer anchor. And this is a Bible quote related to the principle she's describing. Remember, in Unity, we practice metaphysical Bible interpretation. So we don't get super concerned about whether things in the Bible really happen the way they're written down. We look for the metaphysical meaning, something deeper than the words on the page. And metaphysical meanings are personal. So we each get to have our own metaphysical meaning of everything we read in the Bible. The prayer anchor for this chapter is from Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And to me, this means a few things. This means with God, all good is possible. It reminds me that prayer is more than asking God to do something, that I also have to do my part. I choose to believe that it's mine to prepare to receive. So, for example, like our friend in the joke in the beginning, if I'm praying to win the lottery, I have to at least buy a lottery ticket. If I'm praying to find a life partner, I have to do the things in my life to prepare for when that life partner arrives. Sometimes in Unity, some folks don't like the idea of praying for specifics. I really think it's okay. And different people in Unity have different beliefs on this, so we don't all have to see it the same way. I personally believe it's okay to pray for specifics. And one way I put feet on my prayers is I affirm this or something better, because then that reminds me. I mean, I get the specific thing I'm praying for, but I still am open to receiving something better. Perhaps the emotional experience of what I'm praying for is going to come to me. Now, Reverend Charlene poses a bunch of questions to us in her chapter. I've provided a handout, and Tom was kind enough to load that up on the website. Thank you, Tom. So if you are interested in pondering some of these ideas more deeply, I encourage you to go to Unity Center of Positive Living Centralia's website to see that handout. But one question from Reverend Charlene is, what are you doing in life that reveals your level of belief? What are you doing in life that reveals your level of belief? And this reminded me of a story in my life where my prayers and my actions were not quite the same because of something that I believed. And this was when I was doing some praying with a prayer partner around prosperity consciousness. So I have a prayer partner. We were praying a 40-day specific prayer with a focus on prosperity. And during the course of those 40 days, I realized whenever someone offered me something, I said no. Audra, do you want a sandwich? No, no, I'm good. Do you want some help? No, 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 I can do it myself. I was even on the phone with an airline. I was arranging one of my flights back and forth to Unity Village, where I was studying to become a licensed Unity teacher. And one of my flights had been changed by the airline. So instead of coming from Kansas City to SeaTac, it was now going from Kansas City to South Carolina, which isn't exactly on the way to SeaTac. And then it was going to come to SeaTac. And I'm sure there's lovely things in South Carolina. I did not want to go to South Carolina on my way home. I just wanted to come home from Kansas City to SeaTac. And in the phone conversation with the airline, the representative said, well, we can't refund your money. And I heard myself saying, no, 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 I'm not asking for my money. And then I thought, wait a minute, I'm doing this 40-day prosperity prayer with my prayer partner, but my behavior and my thoughts are not lining up with prosperity, because anytime anyone offers me something, I say no. And I had some mistaken belief thinking about being unworthy or undeserving, or prosperity not being for me, or whatever the case may have been. The good news is, I decided I need to say yes. If I am focusing on prosperity consciousness, if someone offers me something, I will say yes. And even if it's not something I want to keep, I don't have to hang on to it. But this is a way of allowing my good, a way of opening that channel, of allowing my good to come to me. I called the airline back and I asked to speak with a manager. And within 90 seconds, that manager offered me a full refund for my flight so that I could buy a ticket with another airline that had a direct flight. And when the manager offered me my money back this time, I said, yes, thank you. Another story about putting feet on our prayers has to do with praying for peace on earth. In 2023, we saw several global conflicts, violence in Ukraine, violence in Gaza. And it can be easy sometimes, if I'm praying for peace, to think of praying for peace over there. If all those people over there would just stop fighting, then we could have peace on earth. And then I realize, as I'm in my car driving around town, and maybe someone cuts me off or veers into my lane without blinking or without looking to see if I'm there, then I might get a little cranky with that driver. And in my head, I might start thinking of names to call them. And I realized that when I pray for peace, it's not about waiting for somebody over there to make it happen. It's not about, oh, if all those people over there would just have peace in their hearts. It starts with me too. And I can affirm peace. I can affirm I am co-creating peace right now in my heart, in my mind, in my car, in my neighborhood, on my streets. I can affirm peace for the other drivers on the road. I can create and co-create world peace in my corner of the world, and I can make a difference right now. So today, we celebrate Easter, a time of new life, overcoming, renewal. And the Daily Word today talked about these concepts. And one sentence from the Daily Word I just love today was, I turn to the Christ presence within me and discover new life and energy, lifting me into higher awareness and understanding of spiritual truth. I love these words because they make me think again about pray and get ready. They're almost a formula. I turn within. So I start my prayers by letting go of the outer, focusing inward. I turn to the Christ presence within me. I recognize that Christ presence, or that divinity that is always present within me, within you, within everyone. I discover new life and energy. So whatever I envision as part of the divine, I know is within me as well. And regardless of the outer, these gifts are present. And this new life and energy lifts me into higher awareness and understanding of spiritual truth. So this is what shows me the way, showing me my next steps as I think about praying and getting ready. Susan read to us from that great Lenten booklet today, that 40 days of letting go, letting God. And I don't know if anyone else has been reading that, but I've been enjoying it quite a bit as well. And the Reverend Ellen Davenport, in her reading today, she referred to Jesus's account, the account of Jesus's death in the Bible and in the book of John, and how the biblical accounts are not eyewitness accounts. They were written, scholars say, anywhere from 40 to 70 years after Jesus's death. But we know that something extraordinary happened during that time. We know that the friends and followers of Jesus had an experience after Jesus died of recognizing he was still present. His essence, his life continued. Most of us are probably not called to give up our lives as part of our life mission, but we may experience the end of life as we know it. If we have a big change or a big ending or a big transition in life, this is a great time to put feet on our prayers. When it seems as if the life we know is ending, let's tune into that inner wisdom about our next steps. There's some really powerful examples from the Gospels about Jesus's death and resurrection and how he not only continued to pray, but he put feet on his prayers. So for example, when he was in the garden praying with the disciples, waiting to be arrested, when the soldiers came to arrest him, he took steps to create peace among his followers because his followers were ready to fight the soldiers to prevent him from being arrested. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he was praying and he forgave those around him, including those who were putting him to death. And he ensured his mother would be taken care of. And when he appeared to the disciples and his followers after his death, he led them in prayer and affirmed that his followers and his disciples had the same power within them as Jesus had within him. And so we know that we always can access this power as well, and we can channel it into our prayers and into our inner knowing of what is ours to do. Our Unity co-founder, Charles Fillmore, identified 12 attributes of the divine. And Charles said these attributes are in God and in us as well, since we are all expressions of the divine. And in the month of March, we affirm the power of wisdom, discernment, inner guidance. And this is great when we think about praying and moving our feet, praying and getting ready, because it allows us to discern what is mine to do with this prayer that I have. What is mine to do? As I mentioned earlier, if we're praying to win the lottery, let's buy that lottery ticket. If we're praying to find a life partner, let's go on a date. It doesn't mean we have to be reckless with buying our lottery tickets or dating. We can still use that discernment to say, is this the right one for me? Have I bought enough lottery tickets? Have I gone on enough dates? We can always tune into that inner wisdom, that inner guidance that is always present for us. Another question that Reverend Charlene asks in her book is, she says, fill in the blank. Whatever I ask for in prayer, fill in the blank. Whatever I ask for in prayer, what do we think of next? Some affirmations I thought of when I looked at this sentence, whatever I ask for in prayer, I thought, whatever I ask for in prayer, I believe is possible. And whatever I ask for in prayer, I co-create with the divine. So we will, in a moment, take this idea into meditation. And however you choose to finish that sentence, I know that your inner wisdom and guidance lights the way. Remember that if you want to ponder these or any other questions, that handout is online. There's also a word search in the handout, which I always find delightful. Reverend Charlene calls this looking beyond appearances as a reminder to look beyond what's on the surface, to remember to focus on that divinity within. And as a reminder that prayer doesn't have to be a somber thing, that we can have fun with our prayers, and we can remember that we are always, in any circumstance, able to return to that place of prayer. So I invite us now to take a few moments in meditation. And so please just settle into your chair. If you feel like closing your eyes, that's fine. Or if you want to focus on these beautiful daffodils, which are such an amazing symbol of that new life, comes around every springtime. And we think about those words, whatever I ask for in prayer. Whatever I ask for in prayer. We know our inner wisdom is strong. We know in each moment we are guided by that inner knowing. And so as we lean on our wisdom and our discernment, let us take a few moments in the silence to listen to that voice of wisdom and ask, what is the answer to whatever I ask in prayer? And let's take that into the silence, whatever I ask for in prayer. I invite us to hear these words as the words of our own heart. Whatever I ask for in prayer is already answered. Whatever I ask for in prayer is seen and known and loved by the Most High. Whatever I ask for in prayer, I know is possible. Whatever I ask for in prayer, I am abundantly blessed, and I am so grateful. And so, for our divine power of wisdom, for our ability to pray and put feet on our prayers, and for all the beautiful reminders of new life and new beginning Easter provides, we're so grateful. So grateful. And so we say, amen. So it is.
Thank you very much, Andre. Take a few moments to absorb and reflect on your heart. And now, if you'd like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, speak out their name and apply it to them.
Jesus Christ Church has a question that we send out healing prayer and community services to all of the people and animals displaced by war and natural disasters. Members of our community who struggle to save the community. Those we have responded for. We ask for the highest and greatest good for all. We just see them in your eyes. Now is our opportunity to give. We are so grateful to the spirit's generous talents and friends. We welcome each of these gifts from you as a member of our spiritual community. Remember, you can share your financial gifts with us by sending them back to our center here at 800 South Pearl Street. Also, by going to our new and improved website. It's put on the menu, on your phone, go down to our system today. So, as we hold our offerings in our hands and in our hearts, say our offerings. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Please join me in blessing the saints. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith in you. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. In closing, let's say our prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God lives and all is well. And let's stand, form a circle, and join our hands in preparation for our song of peace. While you're moving, let's express our gratitude to those who made our service possible today. Susan, the wonderful speaking, licensed community teacher Audrey Pitchford for her most wonderful Easter message. Dallas and Linda for the wonderful music. And slides by Penny and everyone in the service contributors to this. Next week, our speaker will be Dr. Daria. And join us downstairs for our special Easter celebration. And now, let's sing the peace. Thank you.
Thank you.